Today is Friday, January 31st, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website.
Germany's Christian Democrats unite with far-right AfD against refugees. Following the electoral victory of U.S. President Donald Trump, the ruling class internationally is shifting sharply to the right. In Germany, the political establishment is abandoning all restraint and inhibitions about rehabilitating fascism. The Bundestag parliament opened its Wednesday session with a commemoration of the 80th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp and ended it by rolling out the red carpet for the far-right Alternative for Germany at AfD, which has systematically downplayed and trivialized the Holocaust. For the first time in the 75-year post-war history of the German parliament, one of the major parliamentary groups joined forces with fascists to help pass an authoritarian and racist bill. The Christian Democratic CDU-CSU parliamentary group had tabled two motions, 5 points for secure borders and an end to illegal migration, and in favor of a change of policy in domestic security. CDU faction leader Friedrich Merz, the CDU-CSU's candidate for chancellor in the February federal elections, had previously declared his willingness to pass them in collaboration with the AfD. The first motion on borders and immigration was adopted in a roll call vote with 348 votes in favor, 345 against, and 10 abstentions. It calls for permanent border controls with all neighboring countries, which contradicts current EU law, the abolition of the right of asylum for all those who come to Germany by land, and a significant increase in detention places in order to lock up all persons obliged to leave the country. The CDU-CSU Liberal Democrats, FDP, and AfD parliamentary groups voted in favor of the motion, while the Social Democrats, SPD, Greens and Left Party voted against it. The BSW, Bund Sarah-Wagenknecht, a split-off from the left party, abstained. The second motion on domestic security policy was supported only by the CDU-CSU and was defeated by 190 votes to 509. After the result on the first motion was announced, the AfD parliamentary group erupted in jubilation. AfD parliamentarian Bernd Baumann spoke of a truly historic moment. A new era led by the AfD was beginning here and now, he said, putting his party on a par with Trump, Giorgia Meloni, Italy, Geert Wilders, the Netherlands, Herbert Kickl, Austria, and other far-right politicians who have recently risen to power. The entire debate was characterized by security hysteria and racist propaganda against immigrants. It began with a moment of silence for the victims of the attack in Aschaffenburg, where a week ago, a mentally ill refugee from Afghanistan killed a small child and a man. This and three other very different attacks that had occurred in Magdeburg, Mannheim, and Solingen over the course of the past year were cited as proof that the whole of Germany was in a state of emergency and that refugees seeking protection in Germany posed an acute threat to the entire population that could only be countered by sealing off the borders and carrying out mass deportations. What else has to happen in Germany before you agree that this is a threat to public safety and order? Merz shouted, addressing Chancellor Scholz, SPD. After the attacks in Magdeburg and Aschaffenburg, words must be finally followed by actions, he said. Merz justified his cooperation with the xenophobic AfD by citing his conscience, which he simply can no longer reconcile, with remaining inactive. Neither the SPD nor the Greens countered this vile agitation. They attacked Merz for his cooperation with the AfD, which repeatedly led to bitter exchanges. But they did so solely from the standpoint that he could achieve his aims by working with them if he wanted to. Chancellor Scholz, who opened the debate with a government statement, described the attack in Aschaffenburg as intolerable. "I've had enough and I'm outraged." However, the cause was not a lack of laws, he said, but a lack of enforcement in connection with illegal or delinquent migrants. No new laws were needed to ensure domestic security, but rather better enforcement of the existing rules. Scholz listed the numerous laws and measures by which his government had taken action against refugees. We are the only country in Europe that has succeeded in deporting criminals to Afghanistan in recent years, Scholz said. Some measures had gone to the limits of what the German constitution and European law allowed, he stressed. Not one voice was raised in the Bundestag to defend in principle the democratic rights of immigrants and refugees and oppose the smear campaign. Only outside parliament did human rights organizations and representatives of the Protestant and Catholic churches speak out. In a four-page joint statement, the church leaders expressed their deep dismay at the timing and tone of the current debate. It was likely to defame all migrants living in Germany, fuel prejudices, and, in our opinion, does not contribute to solving the issues that actually exist. How can this common stance of all the establishment parties be explained on an issue that has prompted even the otherwise conformist churches to protest? The attack is only seemingly directed solely against refugees and migrants. They serve as a scapegoat for a social crisis caused by cutbacks, rising prices and tax cuts for the rich, and for which the SPD, the Greens, the CDU, CSU, and the FDP, as well as the Left Party, are jointly responsible. The increased police powers and destruction of basic democratic rights, which are justified today as needed to halt the flow of refugees, will be used tomorrow to suppress rebellious workers and young people. The new government will push through massive social attacks, regardless of the election results. All the establishment parties agree on doubling and tripling military spending. Hundreds of thousands of skilled jobs will be destroyed at VW, Mercedes, their suppliers, and other companies. On the same day that the CDU, CSU joined forces with the AfD, the presidents of the four leading business associations published a joint appeal calling for a U-turn in tax, social, and energy policy after the general election. An alliance of some 140 business associations called an economic warning protest. Up to 1,000 small business owners took part in rallies in several cities. This program, which presupposes enormous attacks on workers' incomes and past social gains, requires fascist methods. This is the real reason for ex-BlackRock manager Merz's rapprochement with the AfD. Developments in Germany parallel those in the United States. While Trump was still considered an outsider when he won his first election, the richest and most powerful business leaders are now backing him. Elon Musk, the wealthiest man in the world, is tasked by Trump with cutting government spending by a third, in effect slashing a wide array of social spending to zero. It is no coincidence that Musk is one of the most important supporters of AfD leader Alice Weidel. Musk greeted the election of Trump by publicly giving a Heil Hitler salute, and just days later said at a rally of the AfD that Germany should move beyond its past guilt for the Holocaust and embrace far-right policies. Trump is also using his moves against refugees as a lever to build a police state, deploy the military at home, and mobilize far-right forces. The Democrats are not resisting this because they represent the same class interests, those of Wall Street and the military. No one should be impressed by the rhetoric of the SPD and the Greens. Scholz and Habeck are right when they accuse Merz of preparing a government that includes the AfD. But like the Democrats in the U.S., they will do everything they can to suppress opposition and preserve order. The trade unions will support them in this. They will cooperate with the fascists themselves in parliamentary committees and at the local level. Resistance against the fascists can come only from the working class. Workers will not allow colleagues and neighbors to be deported, their wages to be decimated, their jobs to be destroyed, education and health to be privatized, and pensions and social benefits to be smashed. To lead this struggle, the working class needs a political perspective and its own party, which unites workers internationally and fights for the overthrow of capitalism. This is why the Sozialistische Gleichheitspartei, Socialist Equality Party, is standing in the February 23rd federal elections.
Mid-air collision between passenger flight and military helicopter kills 67 in the U.S. Capitol, by Nick Berkman. On Wednesday evening at approximately 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a Black Hawk military helicopter carrying three soldiers collided with American Airlines Flight 5342, a commercial jet carrying 60 people and four crew, as it was attempting to land at Ronald Reagan National Airport in Arlington, Virginia, causing both to crash into the Potomac River just outside the U.S. Capitol. As of Thursday afternoon, 28 bodies have been recovered and federal authorities believe there are no survivors. The search continues for the remains of the other 39 dead and for data recorders and other instruments that might provide information about the causes of the disaster. The tragedy reveals both the ongoing decay of the U.S. infrastructure and the even more rapid decline of the political leadership of the American ruling elite. The crash was the first mass casualty air disaster in the U.S. since 2009, but follows a series of dangerous near misses and narrowly avoided accidents that are a byproduct of the systematic overloading and deregulation of the air traffic system over many decades. And as far as political leadership goes, President Donald Trump managed 1 minute of an entirely phony display of sympathy for the victims and their families before seizing on the disaster to push ahead with his fascist agenda based on the demonization of workers, including minorities, immigrants, the disabled, and those being super exploited in occupations like air traffic control. The commercial flight was coming from Wichita, Kansas, and included in its passenger list American and Russian figure skaters and coaches who had been participating in the U.S. figure skating championships there. While the exact cause of the collision is still unclear, it is suspected that a number of mechanisms in the Federal Aviation Administration's safety net may have failed or had been circumvented in order to produce the horrific accident. Guy Gratton, a professor of aviation and the environment at Britain's Cranfield University, told the Washington Post that he suspected a procedural breakdown had occurred. He said, quote, "In any airspace, there are very strict procedures to ensure that aircraft are never in the same place at the same time. They are a mixture of technology and visual rule following, and they work because accidents like this are thankfully incredibly rare," end quote. The New York Times cited an internal FAA safety report on Thursday, which notes that staffing levels among Reagan National Airport's air traffic controllers, ATCs, was, quote, "not normal for the time of day and volume of traffic," end quote. The report states that the ATC, quote, "who was handling helicopters in the airport's vicinity Wednesday night, was also instructing planes that were landing and departing from its runways," end quote. "These tasks generally, quote, are assigned to two controllers rather than one," end quote. In 2023, then-Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg released information noting that there was an approximately 3,000-person shortage of ATCs in the FAA. The Department of Transportation also revealed that 77% of all air traffic control facilities are understaffed. In New York, such facilities are operating at around 54% of the necessary labor force. The outright loss of ATCs is the inevitable product of policies going back decades, which have eroded basic safety and operating standards in this high-pressure work environment. Following the betrayal and smashing of the 1981 PATCO air traffic controller strike, in which 13,000 workers had their union broken up by the Republican Reagan administration while the AFL-CIO stood by, workers' pay has been cut along with benefits, while workload has steadily mounted, all contributing to a long-term decline in the number of controllers in the workforce. This has led to an ever-increasing number of close calls on runways. A Times article from 2023 noted that close calls and near collisions among pilots have increased nearly 25% over the last decade. Reagan National Airport, perversely renamed for the president who did more than any other to wreck safe air travel, is, according to the Post, located in a region that, quote, "poses some of the most complex challenges in the country for pilots, requiring them to rely on layers of procedures and electronic safeguards to avoid a catastrophe," end quote. The level of air traffic, the proximity to the White House, Capitol, Pentagon, and other major buildings, combined with extremely compact landing space, quote, "has raised safety concerns for years. National was built to handle 15 million passengers annually. It now handles 25 million, end quote. Significantly, an FAA reauthorization bill, which passed last year over the opposition of Maryland and Virginia congressional leaders, added 5 additional flights at Reagan National, despite warnings of overloading that would produce congestion and potential disaster. Now that disaster has taken place. The presence of various military agencies and bases in the region seems to have helped create conditions leading to the collision. According to Aviation Today, in 2019, the FAA allowed military aircraft flying sensitive operations in the U.S. to turn their automatic dependent surveillance broadcast, the ADS-B systems, off due to concerns the satellite tracking technology could compromise the vehicle's location. It is not known if this was the case in Wednesday's crash. According to military officials who spoke to the press, the Black Hawk helicopter was engaged in a continuity of government exercise, that is, a drill to simulate military operations in the midst of or after an armed attack on Washington, in which top government officials would be taken to an undisclosed secure location, as Vice President Richard Cheney was on September 11, 2011. The Continuity of Government Training Mission, which is billed as a means to keep the government functioning in case of a major attack, was one of tens of thousands of yearly military flights in the area. The flight path of the helicopter suggests that it may have been returning from a high-security location, perhaps at CIA headquarters at Langley, which is well north of downtown Washington, along the Potomac River. It flew south along the river towards the base at Fort Belvoir, when the passenger plane was coming in for a landing at the main runway at Reagan, flying north up the river. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth did confirm that the helicopter pilots were operating with night vision goggles. In a comment to the Times, former Army Special Operations helicopter pilot Mike Sagely stated, quote, "If the airplane is below the horizon line, which it probably was, it blended in with all the lights," end quote. The question of whether the helicopter had veered slightly off its course is also being investigated. President Trump, while first declaring, quote, "We don't know," end quote, the cause of the crash, launched into a bigoted and fascist tirade, claiming that, quote, "diversity, equity, and inclusion," end quote, policies had lowered hiring standards at the FAA and caused the crash. He stated at a press briefing, quote, "We want the most competent people. If they don't have a great brain, a great power of the brain, they're not going to be very good at what they do and bad things will happen," end quote. The president attacked the, quote, "Biden administration's DEI and woke policies," end quote, for hiring job candidates, quote, "who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions," end quote. Continuing his rant, apparently derived from a single article published a year ago in the right-wing New York Post, Trump singled out federal workers with, quote, "hearing and vision difficulties, missing extremities, partial paralysis, full paralysis, and dwarfism," as having dangerously compromised the public safety. Asked by a reporter how he knew what had caused the accident before any investigation, Trump replied, quote, "Because I have common sense, okay?" end quote. After his deranged remarks, a parade of top administration officials, including Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy, Secretary of Defense Hegseth, and Vice President J.D. Vance, all followed with remarks largely devoted to praising Trump for his supposed leadership on the matter and reiterating his denunciations of DEI policies for having caused the accident. The most openly racist comments came from Vice President Vance. He claimed, quote, "You have many hundreds of people suing the government because they would like to be air traffic controllers, but they were turned away because of the color of their skin," end quote. Trump followed these statements with a White House memorandum declaring the crash to be the result of, quote, "problematic and likely illegal decisions during the Obama and Biden administrations that minimized merit and competence in the FAA," end quote. Besides being ignorant, bigoted, and racist, Trump's comments were factually wrong. The FAA's directives on hiring diversity have been a prominent aspect of its policies going back to 2013. The hiring of a diverse workforce, including people suffering, quote, "intellectual and psychiatric disabilities," end quote, remained policy throughout Trump's previous administration. And none of the few dozen hires under this category had anything to do with either air traffic control operations or the tragedy of January 29th, for which they have been viciously and unfairly scapegoated by the fascist president. You can read these articles and more at wsws.org. The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.